You, the sixth chapter. Amen. But I think I'm going to take one verse from the book of Joshua. I'll read that for you from the 24th chapter and the 15th verse. It's a verse that many of us have heard through the years. Joshua 24:15. Joshua said to Israel, when they were getting ready to go into the promised land, this is his last address right before they enter in, and this is what he says to them. He said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose." Everybody say, "Choose." "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. We will serve the Lord. Amen. I'm saying tonight, life is full of choices. We have to make a lot of choices in life. And it's important that we make right choices. So that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight, making the right choices. Making the right choices. Jesus gives us in the sixth chapter of Matthew some very important choices that we have to make, and everybody has to make them. It's not always easy to make choices, but we have to make them. Amen. Bible, so what was it said? It said something about a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Somebody that can't make up their mind. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Just couldn't make up their mind. I hate to drive behind people like that, don't you? They just can't make up their mind. I've driven behind people that got their left blinker on and they'll turn right. You never know. They just can't make up their mind. Amen. But we're talking tonight about making the right choices. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Life is really a series of choices. Some of them are more important than others. It's not real important whether you choose Vlasic pickles or Best Made. That's not probably the most important decision you'll ever make. It's not. But some things are important. Your life partner, whoever you choose to marry and spend your life with, that's an important decision. Amen. That's a really important decision. Amen. Whether you're going to serve God or not, that's an important decision. That's a very important decision. But not only is it important that we choose to serve God, but how we choose to serve God and why we choose to serve God, that's also an important decision. That's one of the first things that Jesus begins to talk about here in the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew. So let's go to verse number 1, shall we? Let's read that. He said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms," everybody say when, not if, but when "thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So he said, when you give, this is how you give. And there is a way to give, and there is a way not to give. The basic principle here in giving is it about religion, or is it about your relationship with God? You know, religion causes a lot of problems in the world. It really does. There's a lot of religions, and I don't really, that's not a word that I'm real fond of anymore. It's been so abused and misused. Amen. I really don't want just to have a religion Amen. I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a real, living, updated, living relationship with Jesus. That's what I really want to have. A religionist is talked about here as somebody that they get everybody's attention when they get ready to give their offering. Amen. And then, because they want everybody to know what they're doing, how generous they are. Amen. And so he said, when you do that, he said, you have received your reward. Your goal, your motive was to be noticed and to get the praise of people and for people to think how well you did. And you get your attaboys and your kudos. And he said, that's it. You've been paid. You got what you wanted. Or he said, you can give in secret. And your Father that sees in secret, he'll reward you openly. Hallelujah. Now that's the kind of giving I want to do. The kind that God sees, and God said, that's what I like. And then he rewards you. Now let me just make sure we understand tonight. Not all of God's rewards are financial. If you are just using God as some kind of a heavenly business partner, you missed it by a mile. That's not what it's about. Amen. But it is true that God does reward, and there's a lot of different kinds of rewards. I think one of the greatest rewards in serving God is just peace. Don't you think so? Hallelujah. Just having peace. Praise the Lord. I'm glad my house is a peaceful house. Hallelujah. I'm glad we don't do a lot of hollering at one another and screaming and fighting and scratching and arguing. I'm so glad I've got a house where we don't do all that stuff. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad I've got a house where I don't have to worry about who gets in my refrigerator. Amen. There's nothing in there. It might be some stuff that's a little old or something, but, you know, we'll get around to it one of these days. Amen. Thank God. I've got a home it's a blessed home. And I thank God. That's a great reward to have that. Amen. It's a great reward to have children that are not rebellious, but that also love the Lord and serve the Lord. Man, that's a great reward, isn't it? Praise God. I'm just saying today that when we give God the option, his blessings are awesome. Amen. His blessings are awesome. So it's very interesting that the Lord begins his teaching here in this particular section on giving. To Jews, giving alms or giving helping others was, as a matter of fact, the word almsgiving and the word righteousness is the same word. The word almsgiving and righteousness is the same word. To tzedakah, and it means either almsgiving or it means righteousness. It's the same word. So they actually parallel giving and righteousness. And so that's that just shows how much they thought about that and how important it was to them. Amen. And then the Lord goes on, he said, when you give, you've got to make a choice. Why are you doing this? What's your purpose? Amen. Some people give to get their name on the building. Yeah. Isn't that right? There's a church somewhere between here and Lufkin, and it's got some guy's name on it. It's a man's name in such and such Baptist church, I think. Man, that's different. I don't think I'd want my name before a church. You know, this is the Church of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? That's what this is. Amen. That's whose church this is. That's whose church we want it to stay. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if God blesses us and I'm able to give $1 million, don't name any buildings after me. Amen. This is about Jesus. Praise the Lord. So some people give so they can get their name on the building. They get recognition. Amen. Some people give because it makes them feel superior to others. Amen. That's not the right reason either, is it? The best reason to give is because you can't help it. You feel compelled. Isn't that right? I just want to help. I just want to be a part. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's the kind of blessing God gives when you just can't help yourself. Amen. You just got to give something. Even if it's not much, you just got to do what you can because you just want to be a part. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And could I say today, if you feel compelled to give, never be ashamed of what you can do. If you can't do but just a little bit, that's all right. Jesus gave his greatest commendation to a little lady that gave the least as far as men were concerned. It wasn't much, but he said it was more than anybody because it wasn't what she gave, it's what she had left over, which was nothing but God. Hallelujah. But when all you have is God, you got a lot. Amen. If you got empty pockets, but you got a full heart and a heart full of God, then you got a bunch. Amen. And he'll take care of all the rest. So never feel like, well, you know, I can't do a lot, so I won't do anything. No, that's not the way we do it. We just do what we can and just give thankfully. Amen. With the right motive. I just want to help. It may not help a lot, but whatever it is, that's it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember one year at General Conference, we had a man preaching, and he surprised me. I know the guy. He's a good man, and he shocked me with what he said. He said, last year at the General Conference, he said, I bought a pair of shoes. And I thought, well, that's nice. And he said, I paid $5,000 for them. And I thought, my goodness, man. Who in the world would pay $5,000 for a pair? And he said they wouldn't even fit. And then he said, those shoes belong to Sister Elsa Lund. She walked in those shoes all over Asia, founding churches and preaching the gospel. And he said, I'll never be able to wear those shoes. Amen. Then I understood what he was saying. Paid $5,000 and gave an offering to missions and got a pair of shoes. But my, what shoes they were. Amen. You see, that's the right kind of motive. It's the right kind of motive. Amen. That's the right kind of motive. Amen. And so it's in how we look at things. Praise the Lord. Now, I know we don't always have all the money to do everything we want to do. I've tried to look at things this way. If somebody comes by and they're selling tapes, or what are they? Not tapes anymore. They're CDs, right? And that's about to go out. Won't be long before it'll be MP3s, and that'll be about it. But anyway, they come by and they're selling that, and you know what I do? I don't buy that. I give them an offering. I don't ever buy anything from anybody that's selling anything for the Lord. I just give an offering. When we're serving a dinner over there, I don't go over and pay $6 for a dinner. I give an offering, and they give me some free food. And I get free food for just giving an offering. That's all I do. I'm so blessed. I give them an offering. They give me food, and man, what a deal that is, brother Fried. What a deal, man. So you see, it's a we make a choice. We make a choice, and how we think about things, amen. And so he said, when you do your alms, don't be a religionist, amen. But seek a relationship. You see. When we give, we choose an audience. Amen. Either these or him. Hallelujah. Amen. And so what we want to do is give it to him. Praise the Lord. Years ago, I read a book by Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you might remember her. She was a little lady that her parents were killed, and a lot of her family, in World War II and concentration camps in Germany. She survived and had wonderful ministry. and wrote some books, and they're very interesting. You have a good chance to read Cort Ten Boom. It'll bless you. But she said something I didn't know what to do with. I've never been comfortable with people saying that you do a good job. You know, I don't know what to do with that. Especially something like preaching, you know. Amen, because I know it's not me. That's right, that's not me. It's, and we do good and we try our best, but it's really not. It's the Lord's help, isn't it? We know that, and you know that, and I know that. And so I didn't know what to say. I couldn't say, nah, I didn't do a good job, because, well, then it's an insult to the person saying I did. I'm calling them a liar. That's not a good thing. And then I don't want to say, sure did, didn't I? Because that'd be full of conceit. So what? She taught me a bit. She said all she did was humbly say, thank you. And then she said at the end of the day, she said, I gather up all of those things. And she said, I just offer them to the Lord like a bouquet of flowers. And he said, here, Lord, all this belongs to you. See, that's a good motive, isn't it? See, that's the right audience. That's the right audience. So preaching is not about preaching to you. It's about preaching for him. Amen. Just trying to do what he gives us to do. And so that's important. And then he wants to talk to us a little bit about prayer. But he goes on here in the next verse, and verse number 5, he said, when thou prayest. Might say, when. Again, not if, but when. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They've been paid in full. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. And you see, so he taught us the first thing about prayer. Again, it's the audience. Who are you praying to? I was with a group of missionaries one time before I was a missionary. And I was with a friend that was a missionary, and it was a great honor to sit with all these great people. And it was a meal. So before we ate, everybody bowed their head and everybody started praying in a different language. It's kind of neat. Everybody, some were praying in African dialects, and some were praying in Spanish, and some were praying in European languages, and it was really kind of neat. When they got through, one of the elders said, now that's what we call praying to be heard. Amen. But it was, you know, sometimes it depends on who you're praying to. Amen. Like the little guy that was, I mean, he was getting with it. He was praying. And they started talking in tongues. And a guy came by and heard him. And a man with more degrees than a thermometer. And he looked at him and said, that, sir, did not sound like much of a prayer to me. And he said, well, good. I wasn't talking to you. Depends on who your audience is. Amen. Prayer is not always how pretty you speak. I've heard some prayers that were not pretty at all. Man, they're moaning and groaning and crying, carrying on. You think, oh my goodness. Hey, man, it gets on your nerves, you know. It grates on you. It does, moves you. My mom used to pray like that. I didn't like her praying like that, because I wasn't living for God then. And it convicted me. Amen. But prayer is when you have the right audience. You're talking to God. You see, that's the motive for prayer, isn't it? It's not to impress somebody. It's not to show somebody how spiritual you are. Amen. So that's not our goal, is it? It's about, again, it's not a religious thing. It's a relationship between Jesus Christ and us. So the proper motive for prayer is a relationship with God. Amen. We pray. And many, he talks about people in the seventh verse, and he says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, for their much speaking. It's not always how long you pray. It's how you pray. Amen. I've heard people pray a long time and not say much. Most of it was Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when you pray, be specific about praying. Get down to business when you pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he said, when you pray again, don't be like the heathen, just repeat phrases. Isn't that right? We don't do so many Our Fathers. You know what our fathers are, right? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And there are some churches believe that if you say that enough times, it gains you something with God. That's not true. That's just a repetition in the prayer. As a matter of fact, it's not really the Lord's Prayer. I like to call it the model prayer, because that's what he intended it to be. He didn't intend it just to be repeated a bunch of times. You know, the Jews in prayer, they had some prayers they did every day. They did the Shema. They did that in the morning before 9 o'clock, and they did it in the evening before 9 o'clock. And then they had what they called the 18, which later on became 19. So every day, three times a day, they prayed the 18 prayers or the 19 prayers later on. And that was it. Every day they had to do that. Every day they had to do the Shema in the morning and the evening. And then they had to do the 18 three times a day. And then on top of that, they had all kinds of prayers. When the sun came up, they had a prayer for that. When the sun went down, they had a prayer for that. When they saw the sea, they had a prayer for that. They had a prayer for everything. Amen. But here's the thing. I think what God likes freshness in prayer. God doesn't want us to get into some kind of a ritual when we pray. Amen. He just wants us to be spontaneous. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be sincere. He wants us to be simple. Amen. That's the kind of prayers that God hears. The Bible said the Lord heard one guy's prayer. All he said was, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he said God heard that prayer. Simple. Amen. Fervent. Consistent. Amen. And so he said, when you pray, have the right motive when you pray. Why are you praying? To bless God? To receive from God? For ourselves and for others. Amen. And then he talks a little bit about fasting also. If I can skip down a little bit while I'm in the same mode that fits in this framework of religion and relationship. Let's go down to verse number 16. And he said, moreover, when you fast. Everybody say when. Not if. When. When you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, and that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So, you see, again, fasting. What's the purpose of fasting? What's the reason for it? Amen. So you can go around moaning and groaning, I hadn't eaten all day. 3 days. I don't know if I can make it. Amen. And you know, in Bible times, they would actually make their faces pale. So it looked like they were, and they'd hang out on the street corners, looking all hallow. Like they're about to croak. What's wrong, brother? Oh, I'm fasting. Seeking God. He said, don't be like that. Just go on about your business. Amen. Just go on about your business. Amen. And make the fast unto the Lord, not unto anybody. Amen. You don't need people's. Now, it's not wrong. Somebody offers you something to eat and you can't eat and you can't get around it to just say, well, I'm fasting. That's all you got to say. Nothing else. Don't say, I'm on the 19th day of a 28-day fast. Been fasting so long. Greens and liver look good. You know, you don't need to do that. Amen. Just tell you fasting. Get on with it. Amen. Just get on with it. Well, I never have. So Amen. You know, I heard of a guy one time. They said, I didn't know him, but I heard about a guy that said that he did a 40-day fast. And you know what he's fasting for? That God would punish somebody that did him wrong. He fasted wasted 40 days. Because that was a prayer of God, and that was the wrong motive, wasn't it? Amen. What does fasting do? One thing, it helps us to control our appetites, not just our appetite for food, but appetite for other things as well. It controls appetites. It focuses our faith on the Lord and our relationship with God. It's not about the sacrifice. You know, there are people every day that sacrifice far more than most of us Christians sacrifice. I've never crawled on glass or beat myself with a whip trying to get God's attention. I've never sacrificed a child to crocodiles in a river trying to get God's attention. It's not about sacrifice. Well, what's the motive here? It's to weaken the flesh and strengthen my spirit. That's the bottom line. When I do without, it weakens my flesh. And it strengthens my faith. And it focuses my faith on my relationship with God. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what fasting does. Just simply that. So he said, when you're fast, he said, be normal. He said, wash yourself, anoint yourself. Those are things he tells us to do. Look to God for approval. God pays. God rewards. And he said, God's going to pay you in full. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so those are choices about giving and praying and fasting. We can either choose religion or we can use a relationship with Jesus Christ. Then we have to make a decision about forgiveness. Did you know that forgiveness is a choice? Forgiveness is a choice. It's not an emotion, and it's not a feeling. It's a choice. Everybody say, forgiveness is a choice. That's exactly what it is. Well, I don't feel like forgiving. What's that got to do with anything? This is not about your feelings. This is not about your emotions. This is not about what you want to do. Amen. The Lord really didn't give us a whole lot of choice, did he? Not the way I read it. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. I don't see a whole lot of choice here. Amen. He makes it kind of plain. He said, for if, everybody say if. If, you see, we got a choice here, don't we? And if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. There's the choice. Anybody need mercy? Give mercy. Anybody need forgiveness? Forgive. Those are our only choices, folks. Amen. Somebody said, well, it's not easy to forgive. I know that. It's not, but you've got to make a choice. And the choice is you're going to let it go. Amen. Now, let me ask you this question. What benefit is it to hold on to some old grudge? How does that help you? To hold on to some old bitterness, some old hurt, nursing some old wound. Do you know what happens to wounds that don't heal? They're dangerous. They can kill you. That's right. If you just keep on nursing an old wound, amen, not letting it heal up, not letting it scab over, you keep ripping the scab off all the time. Amen. So you can stay mad. So you can stay upset. My Lord, who wants to live like that? And yet, so many people do. Some people, they're always angry at somebody. They're always talking bad about people. You know anybody know what I hear today? Amen. I'm not talking to anybody here, but there's people like that in the world. And they're always upset with somebody. Why is that? Because they haven't learned to forgive. Amen. It's not helping you. Let it go. Give it to God. Amen. How many trust God to take care of other people? Do you think God can take care of your enemies? It seems like I read somewhere it said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." He's not going to let folks get away with something. He don't let you get away with it, does he? He won't let anybody else get away with it either. Amen. But God is merciful. He wants to save people just like he wants to save us. He wants to forgive people just like he forgave us. He wants to change people just like he changed us. And so that's what God wants to do. So then we can either hang on to our bitterness or we can forgive. Amen. I'd like to be a forgiven person. How about you? I think one of the saddest things in the world would be somebody that was a prisoner by choice. I mean, the door's open, and yet they stay in their cell. They never come out. They stay there, purposely in prison, with the door open. Wouldn't that be sad? And yet that's what happens when we choose not to forgive. We imprison ourselves. We limit ourselves. We limit our relationship with God just because we won't let go of something that's destroying us. Let it go. Come on out. Be free. Trust God to deal with other people. I said, trust God to deal with other people. Amen. I'm telling you, forgiveness is liberating. Not only when God forgives you for something you did, but when you just quit hanging something over other people's head. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you can shake their hand and smile. I'm not saying that you got to be their very best friend forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And ever. You're not going to be BFs or whatever that is. Amen. There you go, whatever that is. Yeah. That may not be, but you can get along. Amen. You can see them, and you might notice you got a scar, but it's not bleeding anymore. It's not festering, and it's not infected, and it's not killing you, because you forgave. Amen. That's what happens. You forgive when you get hurt. I mean, I've got scars all over me, and I can tell you what most of them are from. Some of them are stupid, but you know what? They're just scars. Scars don't hurt. They're gone. Amen. I let them heal up. Praise the Lord. And so that's the difference in a wound. When you forgive somebody, it makes a scar. And you see the scar and you say, yeah, I remember what happened. But it don't hurt anymore because you let all that go. And now you get on with life. Amen. And you can worship. And you can praise. And you have a good testimony. Hallelujah. You have joy. You have peace because you forgive. Those are some choices. That's an important choice that we make, the choice to forgive. And then he talks about another choice here, moving on down to verse number 24. He said, "Neither can no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." God and mammon. This mammon thing is an interesting word, and it's interesting how it came to mean what it means. Originally, the word mammon meant to entrust wealth to somebody. Like when you put your money in the bank, you're trusting Prosperity Bank to guard your funds. You're entrusting it to them. And you think they can take care of it, and they're going to lock it up. Amen. And that's what mammon meant originally, to entrust wealth to. But over time, it came to mean to trust in wealth. Not to entrust to, but to trust in. And so this is what Jesus is saying. You either learn to trust in God, or you learn to trust in mammon, possessions and things, stuff. That's an important decision, isn't it? We have to decide if we're going to trust in stuff and things, or if we're going to trust in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Or are we going to trust, our whoever our employer is? Are we going to trust God? We have to make decision about these things. Praise the Lord. And then he gives us some really good guidelines here. He says, lay not up treasures for yourselves upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Moth and rust. In Bible times, I've mentioned this times past, but in Bible times, you know, people didn't have a closet full of clothes. I mean, most people didn't. Because they were very expensive. You know, it took a long time to make a garment when you had to take the wool or the flax or whatever you were making it out of, and you had to literally sit there with a little beam and you actually wove the cloth by hand. And then you had to sew it by hand, and everything you did was by hand. That took a long time, folks, when you had to weave the cloth yourself. You had to grow it, and you had to reap it, and you had to weave it, and you had to sew it. It took a while to make a garment. And so they were very, very expensive if you chose to buy one. So if somebody had a number of garments, and that they were considered wealthy if they had a lot of clothes, and some people did. So Jesus, when he talked about that, you know what moths do to clothes? Have you ever had a moth get a hold of something? I've had a few. And boy, there's nothing more aggravating than to have a nice suit that you like and a moth get a hold of it. Now, I've had one or two that, and they like to get somewhere. I always get where it's real noticeable, you know. They don't ever get where it's going to be covered up. Now, I know it's just a little spot, maybe, on up here on the lapel or something, and it's just a little spot, but that's all you can see is that little spot where that moth got hold of it. Amen. And what moths don't do, dry cleaners can do. A friend of mine, it hadn't happened many times in my life, but a friend of mine took me to a men's store. I mean a nice men's store. I've only been to one of those probably, and maybe a couple in my life, and I never bought a suit there. Both times it was somebody else doing the buying. But he took me to this men's store where he was, you know, pretty well-to-do, and he took me to this men's store, and he said, I want to buy you a suit. I said, wow, man, that's great. And he did. It was probably the most expensive suit that I've ever had in my life. I didn't pay for it, and I didn't really want him to pay for it, but he did. And so I really liked that suit. And I didn't wear it very long. I was traveling on deputation, a missionary. You know, when you're a missionary, you it's interesting. Every time you get a haircut, you pray through, Lord, please. I don't know these people. I've never seen any hair they've ever cut. Please let it be a good haircut, Lord. You know, because you don't know. Because everywhere you go, you got to stop at barbershops you've never been to. You wash in laundromats that you don't know who's been washing there. And you don't know what's in there. And you go to dry cleaners and put your clothes in. And you got to rush because, you know, you got to leave town tomorrow. And you know, they messed up that suit. And by the time I saw it, I was hundreds of miles from there by then. But you don't put a lot of confidence in that stuff, you see. You don't. Because he said, don't put your confidence where moths can eat it. Dry cleaners can mess it up. He said, don't do that. And then he says, or we're rust. The word for rust can be that, but it has more to do with in Bible times they had a lot of wealth. A lot of times was grain. Remember the rich man? What did he say? He had a lot of. He built bigger barns. Why did he build barns? So he put corn and grain and all of his grains that he grew as a farmer. And that's, he said, I'm going to store all that stuff up. I'm rich, and I'm going to have all I'll need for the rest of my life. But you know what happens to grain? You ever been around a granary? You got a grain, you know what you're going to have? Rats. Big old ugly rats. Snakes. Where there's rats, you're going to have snakes. Amen. And so you get you a good grainer, you're going to have some uninvited guests. And so he said, and if you don't watch out and you put your faith in stuff, you're going to get some uninvited guests in your life. You're going to get distrust in your life. You're going to get greed in your life. You're going to get worry in your life. You're going to get anxiety in your life. If you put your confidence in your stuff. Amen. We're living in some perilous times right now. Amen. Of course, some of us are getting close to needing a retirement somewhere down the way. And if you've done the best you can, but there's no confidence it's going to be there. We don't know. Amen. We don't know what's going to happen. Because every day they're doing things that we never thought they could do. I mean, they can change the rules, and they are. They're changing them fast. And you don't have a lot of confidence in it. That's the world we live in, folks. So rust can take it away. And then he said, where thieves break through and steal. Amen. Some thieves have a political office. And they can steal everything you got by passing one law. Take it like this right here. I said they can pass one law. And they can take everything you've got. So we better not put too much confidence in what's here. That's why he said, don't lay up your treasures for yourselves here on earth. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he lets us know that we got to make a decision concerning our treasures and whether we're going to serve God, whether we're going to serve mammon. It's okay to have stuff as long as stuff doesn't have you. Amen. As long as stuff doesn't have you. That's what we got to work at, right? Amen. And I think most of the folks here pretty well got that handled, and I'm glad to see that. But, you know, there are places where folks really have a problem with getting hung up on stuff. Our world does. It really does. That's a part of the problem right now is rich people want to hold to what they got and get more. And poor people resent the rich people because they don't have what they got. Even though they didn't work to get it, and they didn't take the risk to get it, and they didn't start the companies to get it, but they want it. And if we're not careful right now, we got some folks that say, well, let's just take it away from the rich and give it to them. Somebody sent me a little thing the other day. I read, and it's pretty interesting. There was a guy that lived next door, and he and his little girl came over, and the man was in the backyard. He's planting some flowers and stuff, and the little girl comes over, and she's asking for money. And he says, what do you need money for? She said, I'm taking up money to help the poor. And he said, really? He said, yeah. I said, I want to take up money, and I'm going to from everybody, and then I want to go give it to these poor people. And he said, well, that's good. He said that you want to do that. And he said, but you know what is a better idea? And she said, what's that? She said, well, if you would plant these flowers and earn some money, and I'll give you the money, and then you go give it to the poor. She said, no, I don't want to do that. In other words, I want to give them your money, but I don't want to give them my money. I want to hold on what I got, but I want to take away from you what you got and give it to them. Huh? That's a little different story, isn't it? It's easy to take somebody else's money to help somebody. But when you got to give up your own, That's when we find out where your heart really is. Amen. Is it really about helping other people? Or is it about making you look good? I get kind of amused sometimes at a lot of these people that do these benefits. They want to do a benefit and help people, help poor, and a lot of these the Hollywood group and the movie stars and the yodelers or the singers, and they'll say, "Let's do a benefit. I'll sing a song." So they give a song, and everybody else gives their money. I'm wrong there. Well, you let me sing and you give your money. Well, some of them got a lot to give. But they don't want to give their money. They just want to give a song and keep their money. Something wrong with that picture. Amen. You see, they're not making a right decision, a right choice. Their choice is, I'm going to hang on to what I got, and I'm going to take what you've got, and then I'm going to give it to help somebody, and it'll make me look good. I look real good giving your money to them. And it just cost me a song. So, amen. He's teaching about choices here. Amen. What's your motive for what you do? And it's about a religion. Who's the audience? Are you doing it for God? Are you doing it for self? Are you doing it for self-aggrandizement? Are you doing it to bring glory to Him and to benefit somebody else? I'm going to hurry up and finish here. He touches one more thing here I want to look at before we close. And look here at verse number 25. He said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and body than raiment?" So he said, don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you're going to have to drink. Don't worry about the clothes you're going to wear. Don't worry about a place to live. Don't worry. Everybody say worry. Now the key word here is worry. Some people worry. And Jesus is saying, don't worry. Don't worry. Amen. Have you ever seen a worried bird? Have you ever seen a bird out there just with his head down, crying? I don't know where my next meal's coming from. No. They sing and they chirp. Remember Chirpy from last week? He had a rough day. But that was because of humans, wasn't it? Because the Lord wasn't taking care of him. Amen. But you know, birds, they're happy because God's taking care of them. Amen. I've never been through an orchard and heard the apple trees weeping, or an orange grove and heard the trees groaning and crying. God takes care of them. Amen. Jesus, even one place he talks here about these little flowers. He said the flowers of the field. He said they just come up. And he said even Solomon, all of his splendor, didn't look as good as they do. Solomon made like $19 billion a year, and he couldn't look as good as the flower. And Jesus said that they just spring up one day. And if I can make something look that good for one day... He said, how much more is your Heavenly Father going to take care of you? Amen. How many feel like the Lord has been taking care of you? How many feel like He's been doing a pretty good job? Then why are you worrying? Well, that was sneaky, wasn't it? Huh? Amen. Yeah, he takes care of us. Seek you first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto you. Amen. But we've got to make a choice. Are we going to really trust the Lord? Or are we going to worry? It's hard to do both, you know. Amen. If you're worrying all the time, then a little short on trust, I believe. I think you need to cut back on the worry and just to trust the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I read somewhere that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he did it for somebody else, he can do it for you. Huh? And if you think it's too big for God, then it's sure too big for you. If God can't take care of it, you sure can't take care of it. Somebody wrote a song and said, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest." Everybody say rest. Upon his promise. Just to know. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. So if we'll just trust him. Amen. We got to make a choice. Amen. I believe Brother Davis used to have a sign on the door that said something like this. It said, if you pray, why worry? If you worry, why pray? It's like I've watched people sometimes come and pray, and they really pray. But before they leave, and they make sure they pick up their troubles to take with them. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about here? They come and they pray and they pray and they pray and it looks like they're doing, and they look a little better, but the next thing you know, before they get to the back door, they got the same burden. They didn't leave it. They took it with them. Amen. Take your burdens to the Lord and what? Leave them there. Don't take it up. Amen. Leave it. Amen. I read about an old farmer that was walking along, and he had a 100-pound bag of wheat on his back. I mean, he was all bent over carrying that heavy bag. And his friend stopped by, and he had a wagon, and he stopped by and offered the guy a ride. He said, "Oh, man, that'd be great." So they get that old bag, and they get it up in the wagon, and the guy takes that heavy load and he puts it on his back. And the guy said, "Oh, you can just toss that over in the back. You don't have to hang on to it." He said, "Oh, no. No," he said, "that horse has got enough just pulling this wagon and us without having to carry this burden too." It makes a lot of sense, don't it? Amen. So if the Lord's carrying you, don't you think he can carry your burden too? Give it up. Lay it down. Quit letting it weigh you down. Amen. Praise God. So make some choices today. Some wise choices. Let's choose not to worry. Let's choose to trust. Choose to trust. Amen. How do you do that, Brother Grissom? Well, when you're tempted to worry, you just start telling the Lord, "Now, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going to trust you. I'm putting it in your hands. I'm going to do what I need to do, what you asked me to do. And then I'm going to trust you." Amen. I'm going to trust you. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. It is a fact that we sometimes in life make right decisions, but we suffer because somebody else ain't made a bad decision. But you just keep trusting the Lord. He's going to take care of you. Anybody believe that tonight? Anybody really believe that tonight? Amen. I believe he'll take care of us. I don't think this is a time to worry and fret. But I think this is a time to trust and believe. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, "Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you." Now, do you think he meant that? Is that in the Bible? Do we believe that? And let's practice that. Amen. You know who said that, right? Peter said that. Amen. He wrote that in his epistle. But you know where he learned that? He learned that because he was in a ship and a storm came up. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus stood up and said, oh, you have little faith. And then he turned to the wind and the boisterous waves and said, peace. Be still. Amen. And from then on, Peter learned a lesson, didn't he? So later on, even when persecution was rampant against the church, he said, go ahead, cast your cares on him, because he cares for you. You can trust him. You can trust him. Amen. Anybody want to trust the Lord here tonight? Oh, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me and will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, and you will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Hallelujah, Jesus, help us to learn how to trust you. Help us to learn to trust you. Hallelujah. Amen. It's important that I learn to trust you. I can trust you with anything. The most important things in my life, I can trust you. Something as valuable and important as my eternal soul, I can trust you with that. I can trust you with my family. I can trust you with my finances. I can trust you, Lord, with my talents and my time. I can trust you with everything that I've got. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good today? Aren't you glad you can trust him? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can trust him with everything. Everything you've got. There's nothing that you have that you can't trust God with. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I have found out that you really can't trust the bank. You can't. I checked my account one day, and everything I had was gone, and then some. Amen. You can't trust them. There's thieves out there. Take everything you got. Amen. You can't trust them. Amen. I know some friends. We had a bank in South Texas. It was one of the few banks in the United States of America that was not FDIC insured. But it had been a good bank for many, 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 many years. But you know what? One day it went under. And I had some good friends that lost almost everything that they had. Some of them were right at retirement and they lost everything they had. Just got a few pennies on the dollar is all they got back. Because they lost it. But you can trust the Lord. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you don't have enough, you'll add to it. I've seen Him do that. I watched God add to. He's good at it. Amen. Well, I'm going to stop. I got some more to do, but I'm going to hush right there. Amen. Important we make right decisions. Do it for the right reason. Check your motive. Who are you doing this for? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so if you're going to say you're doing it for the Lord, you better do it right. Do the very best you can possibly do. Because you're doing it for Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we love You tonight, and help us to trust You more. Help us. I know we may be coming to some dark days. We'll know here pretty soon just what's coming in the world. But there's a lot of troubles. A lot of troubles. Amen. And we're all kind of tied together these days. So what affects another nation will affect this nation. What's happening overseas is going to affect the United States of America. And we got a lot of trouble going on right now. But I'm asking You that You'll give us faith, give us confidence, give us peace, and teach us to trust in You. Help us not to worry, not to fret, not to lose our faith, but just to trust in God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much for your help. Amen. And do keep the Everett family in your prayers. If you could be here Friday to participate in that celebration service, that would be a good thing. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.